Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Here on a Thursday on Danny and Dusty, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080 AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080 AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this craptacular Thursday outside, because boy, did the fall switch get flipped.
It's nice and sunny out
did,
now.
Did it warm up now?
It's like clear and stuff out there.
Oh, God. When I got here this morning, the fog was still sitting over the city.
Yeah, it's late October. Oh. We got the fogs. It was nice and sunny now.
It was nasty this morning.
Yeah.
I came outside.
It was cold as hell, too.
Yeah, I did. I came outside like a groundhog to check the weather, and I threw another layer on this morning.
This is why you need to check the weather app.
Yeah.
You need to be checking the weather at all times this time of year.
Well, I do have basketball shorts on underneath, so I can drop my pants. There you go. It's nice and clean for you.
No, it was very clean.
That was very clean.
That was very clean.
Hopefully just like the inside of your pants.
Yeah, well, give it time. Oops, I pooped my pants. It's time to make our picks.
How do you know so much about them? Because I'm wearing them, and I just did.
All right, time to make our picks. It's that time. It's Thursday. It's 2 o'clock. It's which time. It's for all of our NFL picks. I guess we mentioned at the beginning of the show.
Oh, my gosh.
We're doing pretty good. 17-10-1 for Rust, 18-9-1 for me, and Dusty 20-8. No kissing cousins on your board there.
No, not yet. This week may be a week where I think I have an even line. Yeah,
I kissed my sister twice.
I have a chance at an even line. I've been good on the hook this past weekend. I flirted with the disaster a few times last week. I flirted with the Broncos Saints over 37.
Mm.
Late score in that one pushed one up.
Oh, that's right. Literally, the late score got you over, huh?
Yep. It got me over in that. Colts -3 at Miami, never a doubt. Eagles -3 at the Giants, really never a doubt.
Mm.
And then the Bengals -5.5 last week.
I would just also like to point out that my two giant lines that I picked out last week and was made fun of, I was right.
I didn't make fun of you. I just said that they have not performed well and to be careful with the lines over 7.
Nailed them both.
All right.
Lead us off, Dusty. You went 4-0.
I'm starting Thursday Night Football. Vikings -2.5 at the Rams. You have Cooper Kupp back for L.A.
Puka Nacua
has been activated from the ramp up and will go for the Rams. I still think the Vikings, coming off their first loss of the year, -2.5. I think they win by more than the field goal. Give me Minnesota.
Look, the lines that have been like, how is that line this year, has worked out in my favor every single week this year. And this is one of those lines. Vikings -2.5 just feels like, how is the Rams, even with Cup and Nacua back, aren't healthy. They haven't been really great this year, despite Stafford doing everything he can, and the Vikings have.
Yeah.
Give me Vikings -2.5. I don't.
They're doo-doo.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
You stole that from me. I was just about to hit that one because I too am picking this game, the Vikings -2.5 at the Rams, because those Rams.
They're doo-doo also.
Yeah, and I just don't see how this is within a field goal.
My second game, I'm going the Jets Patriots over 41.
Ooh.
Over 41.
That's a lot of faith in Drake May.
Well, it's a lack of faith in either one of these defenses right now. But I feel like over 41 is an attainable score. I think we could see this one being like in the 24-17 range, which would be 41, right?
Okay.
So I think that if we're at 28-21, you hit. 28-24, you win. 24-21, you win. So I think we could see something in that range between these two teams, which is definitely going to be 10-3.
I am going to go down the line of Bills -3 at Seahawks. Like, I know it's East flying to West, which isn't as bad as West flying to East, but if the Bills are going to be the team they're supposed to be, this is a game that they win, and you're going to win by more than three. It's just that simple for me. Better team win. The Seahawks getting healthy, getting some tackles back. They're still a little dinged up on defense. Their pass rush has been neutered a bit. They did make the trade for Ernest Jones. Like, I don't know how impactful it's going to be right out of the gate. It could be, but yeah. I'm going to lean on the Bills getting a more functional offense up in Seattle.
I'm going to go to Cleveland this weekend, where the Baltimore Ravens are 8-point road favorites. Even with, you know, that one guy going down that everybody booed and cheered and whatnot when he got hurt. And Jameis Winston, the clubhouse favorite coming in and starting because DTR is also hurt. Those Browns,
they're doo-doo.
And the Ravens are not. So I'm taking Baltimore -8.
Third game on the docket for me, I am going to go with the Atlanta Falcons -2.5 at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa literally doesn't have receivers anymore.
No, they're dead.
They're going to have to run the ball. Their secondary is still banged up. Kirk Cousins and the Falcons just got embarrassed at home against Seattle Seahawks. Give me Atlanta to cover 2.5 in Tampa.
I like it. I like it. This one is one that I'm making for the show, but I will not push on the wager button until this weekend when we know exactly who's going to go. But I've been riding both of these teams this year, particularly when it's 3 points or less. The Bears are 3-point favorites at the Commanders. I'm going to continue to ride the Bears here only because Jaden Daniels is likely going to be out. And even though the Commanders did look good even without Jaden Daniels, the Bears have got themselves a pretty decent defense.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota. And look, no Jaden Daniels today at practice. That's the major concern.
It's a pretty strong indicator, like, but I'm gonna nail this one down unless the line moves.
I'm going to go right up against you there on that one because those Commies, they did a good one for me last week when they were 8-point favorites and they shellacked. I forgot who they played. What does it matter? Anyway,
the Panthers.
There we go. Thank you. But it was 10-0 when Mariota came in, and that's when I started to pucker up a little bit and be like, oh, no. And then they opened it up. So I'm taking Washington +3 against those Bears.
My final pick of the week is the Green Bay Packers -3.5 at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
This one felt too comfortable and mildly stinky. It should be this and more, shouldn't it?
You would think. And Jacksonville coming off a win over the New England Patriots in London. But remember, they go back-to-back weeks in London. Then they have to come back to the States without a bye week. So I'm going to go with Green Bay in this one. Pack have looked good, man.
No, they
just knocked off the Houston Texans. They're on a 3-game heater right now. Their only blemishes this year out of the gate to the Eagles down in Brazil, and then to the unbeaten Minnesota Vikings. And that game was a tight one as well. Give me Green Bay to win this game. I don't care.
Circle the cheeseheads.
I know. 2.5. Don't get it.
Yeah, not making a whole lot of sense for me.
Well, I mean, Jordan Love, maybe. Do you see the article? Does Jordan Love have an interception problem?
Oh, is that what we're chasing
come on
now?
What are we doing here?
My final line, I'm going Chiefs Raiders over 41.5. 9 of the last 10 games between the Chiefs and Raiders have been more than 46 points. Regardless of what stage of crappiness the Raiders are in, points end up being scored.
Yeah.
This rivalry game that just tends to, for whatever reason, this tends to be a higher scoring matchup historically. No matter what stage of the Raiders or the Chiefs, the Mahomes Chiefs scoring a lot of points or relying more on their defense, the Raiders not having any semblance of offense, finding a way to score against the Chiefs. I don't know why the hell this happens, but if you just go through the history of Chiefs Raiders, this is a game that somehow the offense breaks out.
Yep. I will say, on the Packers thing, their secondary has been banged up. They got a bunch of guys questionable, including Jair Alexander in the secondary, but I'm not worried.
Yeah.
I'm on this one going to go directly against Mr. Hara with Green Bay at Jacksonville. Did you have it at, what did you?
3.5.
3.5? Okay. Well, I had on it at 4. We'll go with 3.5.
On the DraftKings.
Yeah. I think it changes like in the last half an hour or so up to 4, but I'll take the 3.5. And basically, for no reason other than I'm going to take the Costanza stance and say that basically what I originally thought I should probably go the opposite of. So I'm going to go ahead and take Jacksonville plus 3.5 because I have not been good at all on picking the Jacksonville Jaguar games this year.
Okay.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks are picks for the week ahead of Thursday Night Football. Coming up next, Chris Haynes is breaking some news in the NBA that is pretty interesting concerning the Los Angeles Clippers and a lawsuit and the potential ramifications it holds, not just with how they have treated Kawhi Leonard medically, but implications that the Clippers, gasp, operated outside the CBA in pursuit of Kawhi Leonard years ago out of Toronto. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. But she
always knows her place. She's got style. Chris Haynes, formerly of Turner Sports, he's operating independently right now, was the first to break the story, and now Baxter Holmes of ESPN also has his story up at ESPN.com about a former LA Clippers strength conditioning coach suing Lawrence Frank, the president and GM of the Los Angeles Clippers, for wrongful termination. That's the least surprising thing in this. What's interesting or eyebrow-raising in this is that why or what is coming out of this lawsuit, and that is the wrongful termination came around as part of raising concerns about the management of Kawhi Leonard's health and injuries and how the Clippers were handling them, and also saying, I am going to willfully and totally cooperate with the NBA if they want me to snitch on the Clippers for operating outside the bounds of the CBA and the spirit of the CBA in their pursuit of Kawhi Leonard, which he alleges started in 2017.
When he ended up going to LA, this was a big story mm-hmm. because of the fact that there had already been a tampering fine that Doc Rivers got
Jeez.
About talking about Kawhi Leonard, mm-hmm. which is a no-no. They remember when he was in Toronto, there was also that report of the Clippers always being at his games for whatever reason. Yeah. And that's mentioned in the Baxter Holmes mm-hmm. article, too. But we remember, like, there were these little nuggets, and, like, it was at the time, it was just like, whatever. You know,
and you remember there was
tampering
also
happens across every professional sport.
The idea that the Clippers may or may not have purchased Kawhi Leonard a home and then allowed him to have a helicopter to fly back and forth between games.
So this is kind of taking it a step further, though, mm-hmm. in what Shelton, who is a former strength and conditioning coach at San Diego State with Kawhi
Leonard in college,
when he was drafted by the Spurs hired him to come over mm-hmm. and be a strength and conditioning coach. Then after Kawhi went up to Toronto, he went back to San Diego, mm-hmm. Shelton did. But he's claiming that over time, including while Kawhi was still in San Antonio,
back in 2017,
Clippers brass was contacting him, knowing that it was against the rules because they were saying we need to be discreet about this, trying to get Kawhi's medical history.
Privileged medical information.
Trying to get how severe a lot of his injuries were, how they would handle them, if they should make a move on him. And this was in 2017. This is before the Spurs were even open to dealing Kawhi Leonard.
This is basically right around the time that Zaza Pachulia stepped underneath him. It was the dirty play and injured Kawhi. And that led to a fracture within the Spurs organization because Kawhi Leonard and his uncle, Uncle Dennis, believed that they were not treating his injuries correctly, blah, blah, blah.
Remember, it went from ankle to quad to
knee
everything.
To everything. And then eventually the Spurs traded him away. Look, I love DeMar DeRozan, but they traded him away for pennies on the dollar for what he was because the relationship was so fractured.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it ended up being a DeMar DeRozan a first, if I remember right, which is insane to think about.
In the NBA, yeah.
It's insane to think about.
Yeah.
And again, that's not a shot at DeMar. I love DeMar, one of my favorite players to watch. But Kawhi Leonard, when healthy, is one of the probably 12 best players in the history of the game.
That is trading your franchise quarterback for one first-round pick.
And a good quarterback.
A really good receiver.
Huh.
But you don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, there you go. Remember, Kawhi Leonard is a two-time champion, finals MVP. Like, the dude in his prime is a complete and utter monster.
Where this goes one step even further in what Shelton is alleging is that he was down at San Diego State again after while Kawhi was in Toronto, and the Clippers hired him to lure Kawhi Leonard back to
years
LA.
In advance. Again.
And so this is where the tampering goes to ratchet it up over, this is now several years where the NBA was turning a blind eye. Only, I think the only consequence was a $50,000 fine to Doc Rivers, right? In any of this. And now basically Shelton is suing for wrongful termination and saying, nope, I'm going to put it all out there and going to dare the NBA to do something about it. But if the NBA does something about it, at this point, do the Clippers start turning on other franchises if they get hit with it? Because usually that's what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the league doesn't give a stiff enough penalty to the Clippers to protect everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball. That's how the business gets done.
The immunity gets handled, you know?
Yeah, like you get a slap on the wrist and everybody gets the, hey, knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
And the Clippers look really bad and the fans get really mad at the league, but the other 29 teams in the league are all protected.
I will just say this as far as where this sits right now. If you are an owner in the NBA, the last person you want to see snooping around is Baxter freaking Holmes.
Yep.
That man is the grim reaper of it's not a hit piece. It's
fact
deep dive, fact-finding, investigative journalists. He is the best in the business,
yep,
in the sports world. And if you have dirt, that man will find it. Go back and look at every owner that has had their franchise either forcibly removed from them or tangentially removed from them. Every executive. Look, I have heard that he was tipped off about Neil Olshey just before that became a problem, and that he was probably on his way up here during that time period. So
Baxter Holmes is the NBA, like the equivalent of college football, is if Dan Wetzel and Charles Robinson start kicking the tires on your program. You're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, because they're going to find out.
They will.
Because here's the thing. They'll find that one person in HR. They'll find that one person who leads to another thread, who leads to another thread, who leads to another thread. Somebody who's, more often than not, has nothing to do with basketball.
Yeah, it's like a janitor.
Yeah. And
find the janitor, and he's like, oh, yeah, I know about that.
Go ahead and slip you $10,000. Thanks, buddy. And then that leads to and I'm not saying they're doing
$10,000. I don't think it's that even that much.
Well, you know how this works.
Yeah.
Hey, you have something that leads to something, you'll get compensated. But these guys, if you see Baxter Holmes sniffing around, it's not just smoke. There's fire.
Well, you don't think the Clippers will say, oh, really? You want to come down on us? How about the Lakers landing LeBron James? You want to take a look into the Lakers and LeBron? You want to take a look into the Warriors and KD? You want to go ahead and look at
the New York Knicks and their pursuit of KD and Kyrie? But Here's the thing. When you do that, when you start, this is one of those things where
you want to look into Miami's attempts at Dame?
Yeah. Good Lord. This is one of those things where if you get caught, you just got to have fall on the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, that's how this goes. It's, hey, look, we all play the same game. But if you get caught, you get caught. And you can't do the, well, what about them? Because the second you do that, then it's 29 against one, and then you're screwed.
See the NFL and Miami Dolphins with Tom Brady.
Perfect example.
The Brian Flores lawsuit, by the way, is the only reason why it came out. Is Brian Flores sued, and
everybody,
they were like,
knew what happened.
Oh, crap.
Yep.
And so they had to do something about it.
And that's where, look, I've heard all of the rumors and everything surrounding Kawhi for years, both in San Antonio and in the Clippers' pursuit of him, and nothing here sounds outside the boundaries of what I've heard over the years. Now, it's all unsubstantiated, and there's some things that I know to be fact, and there's some things I know to be false, but if I had to be a betting man here, I would start leaning towards this being a very, very bad position for the Los Angeles Clippers.
Oh, dang, man. But at least they got the wall of fans. And a bunch of toilets.
Just unfortunate timing with, you know, Kawhi Leonard being injured and not ready for the season and their team not being good.
You want a tinfoil hat? You want a tinfoil hat here?
Mm-hmm.
You want a tinfoil hat?
Mm-hmm.
The NBA doesn't want the Thunder to get the first round pick, so the Clippers will have to forfeit their first round pick this year because they have a pick swap with the Thunder.
That's pretty good.
Adam Silver planted this.
That's pretty good. Like, no. No, because Sam. It, no.
The, by the way... This year,
pick swap
between the Thunder and the Clippers as a result of the Paul George trade. So if the Clippers have a bad year, they just lost game one to the Suns. If they have a bad year, the Thunder can unprotected pick swap. Mm-hmm. If they were to land the number one pick, Oklahoma City could say, mine, and they get Cooper Flagg.
Hey, that Paul George trade, it's a good thing the Clippers still have Paul George on the roster, right?
I'm going to tinfoil hat that. Yeah, he's so good for them and for Philly right now.
Think about that trade now.
While he also doesn't play there right now.
It's tough.
Yikes.
He's not playing for two teams.
Yikes, brah.
This is going to be an interesting story to follow.
Yep.
But as we get more information on it, which seems to be coming quite rapidly, including ESPN and Chris Haynes both have copies of the lawsuit. So I think it's pretty clear.
This is the lawyers of Shelton handing the lawsuit
to everyone.
To him. Because, oh, wow, coincidentally, ESPN just obtained this lawsuit and they have direct quotes from his lawyers. Well, I wonder how they got it.
And also, apropos of nothing. And I love Chris Haynes. He's a wonderful human being. We work together at the old CSN and stuff. Mm. He might be the only person that moves from job to job more frequently than Jed Fish.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. What is he doing? Where is he posting these stories to?
Twitter.
Just Twitter?
Yeah. He's unaffiliated currently.
Dude, I love Haynes. He's a great dude.
Great dude.
Like I said, good dude. Mm-hmm. He's tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the world of the newsbreakers. They're all changing spots. All right, coming up next... We want to talk some more football?
No, yeah, dude. This story out of Denver's crazy right now.
Yeah, I mean, wide receivers need to stop getting shot.
Dang, man.
I mean, holy crap. Yeah, no, that's not what, something
I... Did they get Ricky Pearsall again?
No, somebody else. Wow. No. But first, this is Big Canoe Sports and Update. Unfortunately, this is the second time this season we were going to talking about a NFL wide receiver being shot.
Yeah.
Ricky Pearsall obviously was shot in San Francisco, 2 months ago now in the chest and has somehow returned to play. Now Denver Broncos wide receiver Josh Reynolds has been shot twice and they are clarifying it and calling it minor wounds when there's a gunshot wound to the head.
Yeah. So this story is wild. Janet Orovitz of Nine News in Denver has got the story on this one, and it's a doozy. So Josh Reynolds and two friends were apparently at a strip club in Denver, and NBA fans will know this strip club very well. Shotgun Willie's.
Oh, you're kidding me.
The place that Ja Morant was caught on video brandishing his weapon.
Oh, what weird how something bad might happen at a place called Shotgun Willie's.
So at Shotgun Willie's on Friday, shortly after 3 a.m., 911 received three different phone calls, okay, of men saying that they had been shot. And the GPS tracking put all three in, like, the same area. And the investigation is showing that apparently Josh Reynolds and two of his associates were at Shotgun Willie's and they were watching the old dancers. This guy, two guys have been arrested in this, by the way, Luis Mendoza. I do not believe it is the Luis Mendoza that pitched for the Kansas City Royals.
Mm.
Not that Luis Mendoza, but a man named Luis Mendoza and all-time criminal name, Burr Charlesworth.
Burr?
Burr. B-U-R-R. Charlesworth. Burr Charlesworth.
No relation to Bill.
No, because it's his first name. Is Burr? He's Burr Charlesworth.
Burr.
These two guys have been arrested because they just walked up behind Josh Reynolds, and apparently those two guys walked in, and their eyes weren't on the dancers. Like, surveillance cameras say, they were just locked on Reynolds and his guys that he was there with.
Likely targeted either because they know they're NFL players or that they have money or the outstanding beef. It's usually one of the three.
This is crazy. I mean, according to The report, the documents say Mendoza did not engage with the entertainers, but instead watched the victims. As they left, Mendoza followed them out, the documents say. Several other vehicles have been seen pulling out in and out of the parking lot, and people inside them appeared to be waiting for the victim to leave. Three vehicles were seen following the victims, the documents show. In most of the videos reviewed by investigators, Mendoza's vehicle was directly behind the victims. So they came to a stop.
Carjacking.
Pop. Multiple shots, and they just kind of, all three guys in the car scattered. I guess Reynolds and one of the other guys had scrapes from jumping over a fence and trying to get away from these guys. So that's a scary situation, man. Like, Josh Reynolds, if you're wondering why he was out at 3 a.m. on a Friday night, he's on the injured reserve with a broken finger. So he's away from the team as it is, but still doesn't make this thing any better.
What are you doing?
Yep. Look, nothing good happens after midnight. That's what my coach has always said.
Look, I'm not going to tell people how to live. Young, dumb millionaires are going to go out and do young, dumb millionaire things.
Young, dumb, and full of what?
Exactly. And I'm not saying that they deserve this or they invite them on themselves and blah, blah, blah. That's not it. You should be able to look. Regardless of what you think or believe, going to a strip club is not against the law. It's something you can go do. It's fine, whatever. But you do, in a sense, invite situations and ramifications.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Shotgun Willie's has become notorious now because... And here's the look. The Josh Reynolds, John Morant... If you think they're the only ones that have ever been embroiled, look, I've heard of Shotgun Willie's long before Ja Morant. It is notorious in the NBA. And it's because of the way they handle things with discretion. That ruined.
Obviously not.
Well, no, I mean, not now.
Obviously not, because they're the ones that handed over the video of Ja Morant flashing a weapon.
Well, not only that, in a room full of money.
Yeah.
Or there's a security guard that did. But historically, there was a place that you could go and you could get a private room and you could act a fool. Which, if you're going to act a fool, it's the way to do it. Not be Plaxico Burress and be in a club and shoot yourself in the leg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a fully
not
club.
Good.
No.
Not good.
But this sounds like it was a hit.
Absolutely. From the way that it's described in this report by Nine News, like it sounds like this was very targeted. It doesn't appear that they wanted anything specifically.
No.
They were just following Josh Reynolds and his buddies, or his buddies, I mm-hmm. guess. Who knows what the guys
Josh
he's
Reynolds
with
might just be a bystander here. Like, again, probably not the case, but.
Well, I'd have no idea.
This is nuts.
You don't hear about this kind of stuff very often.
No,
thankfully.
Now we have two cases of it in the span of a couple months.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy.
Golly.
Do you want to talk about the Vikings and the Rams?
Maybe. I mean, we can.
Okay.
I think it's going to be an interesting game. There's a lot of intrigue around this game now.
Yeah, there's a lot of return, and there's some stuff on the line. Let's talk about that next segment. Danny Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
It's time for a Blazers report on the Fan. The inside story on the Portland Trail Blazers. Brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria.
The Portland Trail Blazers have their worst opening night defeat in franchise history, falling to the Golden State Warriors 139-104. It was a limp effort. I don't think you can slice it any other way. The good news is there's 81 more of these things, and as Chauncey Belt said, nobody looked good last night, then this is how you can improve. Have somebody look good going forward. This Trailblazers report on the Fan is brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria, the best place to go before and after games or any event. Check them out on the corner of Southeast 15 the Broadway at AztecWillies.com.
I'm a Trojan, so as we all know in here, you know, that you're Trojan for life. You're a Bruin for 4 years.
Don't try to get me to like the Yankees.
I don't know what that's regarding, but you know, I figured Danny might like that.
That's Aaron Boone. That's the Yankees skipper.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will not like Yankees though.
Well, why is he talking USC UCLA?
I'm assuming something got brought up about LA.
Yeah, yeah, because SC's got Rutgers this weekend.
Yeah, it's
quite the opposite of...
Inside USC retweeted a Yankees video. It says Aaron Boone talking about his college days and the USC-UCLA rivalry.
All right. LA guy. Brewing for 4 years.
I mean, yeah.
Boy.
I can't help people who choose the wrong institutions.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't Garrett Cole pitch for UCLA? I mean, Garrett Cole, I'm pretty sure he went to UCLA, didn't he?
Is he Tennessee?
I don't know. I thought he was a UCLA guy.
I could be wrong. I get my colleges mixed up for a lot of pitchers for whatever reason.
Garrett Cole, University of California, Los Angeles.
Yeah, there you go.
Because he was on the same team as Bauer, right? Wasn't he?
Yeah, I think you're right.
He and Trevor Bauer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Maybe that's why Boone's got something against him.
I mean, look, Garrett Cole's never been sensitive about anything in his entire life.
Come on now. He definitely won't hold that against his coach. The Vikings-Rams play tonight. 5-1 Vikings take on the 2-4 Rams for Thursday Night Football. It's not a craptastic game.
I think this is going to be a really good game. It's a weird thing to say about a Rams team that
2-4
has been really bad and really awful. But Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp back, you got, you know, it's slot-tober right now where you got the two best slot receivers in the NFL on one damn team. That's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Like, they've got two of the best route runner possession type receivers. And to think of 2-4 being out of it in the NFC West, you're not. They're actually only a game out in the loss column from being in first place in the NFC West. And if the Buffalo Bills go and beat the Seattle Seahawks this weekend, they'll be even with now the division leader, Seahawks, in the loss column.
Which is such a, again, that division, like, it's not the worst division in football, but it's a pretty nasty division.
Yeah, it's nowhere near, it's not even the... It's probably the second best division in the NFC.
And worst division in football or in the NFC right now. Best division is NFC North.
Best division in all of football is the NFC North.
Hands down. Second best division in the NFC is not the East.
It's definitely not the South. It's the NFC West. And this is why I say it's probably the second best division is because come playoff time, are you going to trust the Seahawks or the 49ers, or are you going to trust the Commanders being really young, the Eagles with the fractures that they have?
Heaven forbid the Cowboys.
Cowboys, not going to trust. You don't have to worry about trusting the Giants.
I mean, look.
Even
with McDonald as the new coach in Seattle, I still would trust organizationally that the structure of the Seahawks over every team in the NFC East.
And they get healthy, especially up front on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Like their offense, Geno managing Kenneth Walker,
keeping
DK Metcalf, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Tyler Lockett. Like, you can sit there and say, yeah, Seattle, pretty damn good. San Francisco ever gets healthy, you'll be like, yeah, really damn good.
Don't think that's happening.
Okay, just take the best, the worst team in each of those divisions. Who are you taking head-to-head, the Giants or the Rams?
Yeah, it's the Rams.
Right?
Yeah. Even though the Giants do have a pretty functional defense, the Rams even beat up quarterback play. Even Stafford behind the eight ball is, yeah.
Let's go second worst team. You taking the Cowboys or the Cardinals right now?
God, that's revolver or acid bath.
Arizona just beat the Chargers.
Yeah, I can't. You beat a team without an offense.
I know.
God, I'll go Cardinals, but I'm not comfortable with that one at all. That makes me physically ill.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the Cowboys' most recent memory, remember, was 47-9 loss.
Yeah, no, and getting
all right
hook and laddered on it by an offensive lineman.
Niners, Eagles. Which one are you taking?
Niners.
Okay, Seahawks or Commanders?
Recency bias makes me want to go Commanders, but structurally the last 10 years, the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Even though there's different
Even though the Seahawks did lose at home to the New York Football Giants.
Yes. But they also invented ways to lose in that game. And to be fair, the Giants would have beaten the Commanders if they had a kicker.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
So, there you go.
So, yeah. I mean, you could make the argument.
God, the NFC sucks. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's always something we talk about, but my God, the NFC North really is just a class above the rest of that whole conference.
They are eating.
Nuts. Which, yep. Again, now they have the Vikings have a chance to get a bounce back game after, you know, losing on a late field goal to the Lions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a good little spot for them to be in. And the Vikings have quietly, not quietly, just gone about their business. And if they can continue to just status quo this thing and get healthier, or as healthy as one can be going into the playoffs, you're gonna have some fun with this team. What you giggling about? What you got?
The Vancouver Ford text line. Do a segment about Shotgun Willie's. Follow it with the sponsored Aztec Willie's spot. That synergy.
I mean,
they're not related.
Not
related. Different
Aztec
Willies.
Shotgun Willies.
Yeah,
they're different. They're different Willies.
A lot of Willies. Not to be confused with the Wets.
I don't know what that means.
The Wet Willies.
Oh, okay. That's a lot more innocuous than I thought it was.
I wasn't going to be that bad.
Really? We know you, Danny.
Come on.
For over 2 years now.
Come on now.
Oh, man. All right. Close. So yeah, back to Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
Pretty good little game.
Look.
And does Sam Darnold, do they right the ship again? Because we've seen this before with teams that start hot,
mm-hmm.
and then they start slowly coming back down to earth. There's going to be no TJ Hockenson again tonight for the Minnesota Vikings.
But they're saying he'll be back next week.
Maybe tomorrow. Mm. We've seen this before where teams go out to a hot start, and then the shine comes off their armor, and all of a sudden we start seeing losses pile up. And for Minnesota, they came out, they were really damn impressive the first 3 weeks against the Giants, the Niners, and then the Texans. Then they eke one out against the Packers. They eke one out against the Jets. And then they finally lose to the Lions. Is this a return to earth for them, or do they right the ship and get things back on the right track?
Yeah, and I'm looking at the Vikings injury report. Honestly, they're getting healthier. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
All right. That does it for us today. We will be back tomorrow. From noon until 3. It'll be a Football Friday
edition.
Don't
make threats like that.
We got a lot of football that we need to get
to. We do. We haven't even really touched college at all.
Yeah, it's going to be a great week of college football. Great week in NFL, too.
It is. We got a nice little slate.
I'm in, baby. Let's get going. All right, up next, you get 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Thursday, everybody. See you on Football Friday.
Bye. I can drop my pants.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.